Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Just started driving like an absolute idiot trying to get back to the front.
It reminded me of Chili Bowl, honestly. Like, the sliders were like, if your right rear could just get to the Nerf bar, it was like clear.
Tanner was flipping Brent Marks off under yellow. it was intense the whole way. All right, welcome back to the High Limit Room. Dylan Welch, I was told he's at the barber getting a haircut. No, he's actually at Barber Motorsports Park doing some announcing. At the race. I don't even know what race it is. IMSA or IndyCar. I'm not really sure. But filling in, I'm Chase Rodman. You hear me on Flow Racing as the announcer for the High Limit Racing Sprint Cars. Filling in for Dylan Welch. We got Kyle Larson and Brad Sweet here, obviously, with us as usual. So, guys, obviously, we got some victory toasts to get to. Brad, two wins at Southern Oklahoma and Salina. And then the last show was on March 15th. And so, Kyle, you do have a win Xfinity at COTA, so we'll toast to those as well. I've got a spiked Starbucks here that I'm going to take a drink of, but congrats, guys, on those wins.
Yeah, thanks. Obviously, good to get winning with the High Limit Racing Series. It's seemed like a long time and a lot of seconds and thirds. So glad to get in victory lane.
Yeah, I feel like it's been like super competitive. Obviously, I didn't think anybody would think that it'd take eight races for you to get a win. Obviously, Rico hasn't gotten a win yet. Kyle got that first one out of the way, but kind of struggled here recently. I just feel like the competition with High Limit so far is better than honestly what we were expecting with Corey and Sunshine, obviously, and you know, Macri got a win in there, but it's been super, super competitive all year so far.
Yeah, you never know, you know, when a group comes together, like how, and we go to new tracks, and obviously Corey Day is a wild card. You know, we know he has a lot of talent, but you just don't know how he's going to do, you know, on a national level under, you know, more pressure against different competition. But it's really not surprising to me. He was, you know, extremely good last year on the West Coast, and I just felt like he had that, you know, crazy potential, a little bit of that Kyle Larson in him, I always call it. Just kind of can always make speed and doesn't make a lot of mistakes for his age. So, you know, he's been crazy fast and taking all our money, those midweek races, you know, so he's doing a good job. And then obviously Tyler's been, you know, really consistent and right up front every night. And then, obviously, you know, I guess the surprise is probably a few of the guys that we thought would be a little more consistent, even though we're only 10 races in, haven't been as much. You know, Rico's had a few bad nights, but you know, it's shown speed. So I look for him to get on track and really, you know, start competing through these summer months more competitively. Brent's been, you know, kind of quiet, but he's there every night. Yeah, we got like a really diverse group and a really deep group. Yeah, and it's just some guys run a little bit better on the shorter tracks, and some guys run a little bit better on the bigger tracks, and you know, we're going through a lot of tracks that some guys have been to and some haven't. So you see that experience definitely helps guys that have been to tracks. And then I've noticed when I haven't been to a track that they've been to, they have a little bit of a advantage on us. So, yeah, it's been interesting. It's been fun. It's nice to go to new tracks. It's nice to have, you know, a little bit more freedom. Definitely, like, for instance, this weekend we'd been going to the races, but the weather looked bad. So able to come home and spend some time with the family instead of sitting on the road. So definitely enjoying the little bit of differences and enjoying the different group of guys that I've been racing against, and you know, had a lot of fun competing night in and night out so far.
Obviously, we know Corey Day's really good. Kyle, what do you make of his last stretch here? He went, you know, Brad's talking about new tracks, but Corey had never seen a single one of those and came out of there with three wins and two of them being $20,000 worth. I feel like he is just, I mean, he's really good. I feel like he's like the Sheldon of High Limit, really. I mean, he's exciting every single night.
No doubt. Yeah, he's super fun to watch. You know, as Brad mentioned, you know, we've been, I think everybody's kind of had them on their radar for the last couple of years, and it's crazy to think he's only 18 years old and first time seeing all these places. And yeah, he's just crazy good, like fast, doesn't make mistakes, like lives on the edge, but you know, doesn't really make mistakes. You know, I think a guy like Sheldon or me, even at times, like we live on the edge, but we also make lots of mistakes. So Corey, though, right now is racing a lot of confidence. His team's doing a good job, and these tracks are really suiting him as well. So yeah, I think as we get to, you see him on bigger tracks where qualifying's even more important, I think that's where it'll get a little bit tougher for him, because he kind of a lot like me. You know, we struggle qualifying on half miles and stuff. So as the tracks get bigger, I think it'll get tougher on him. But you know, he's doing a super good job of better than what I thought he would be doing, honestly, at this point in the season. But it's still a long year and all that. But yeah, him, Sunshine, Brad, you know, they've all been really good. So it's been fun to see, and frustrating when I've been at the racetrack, because I've not really been a part of the mix much. So hopefully we can get our stuff better and we can be mixing up with everybody.
So obviously Corey getting the win on our last race at Riverside, and it was pretty exciting to see him go around the very outside and make the move on Sunshine for the win. All right, now switching gears, let's talk about some safety concerns at Riverside with the incident with Brian Bell and the incident with Tim Crawley and, you know, a couple other guys getting in the fence over there. And Brad, I know that you had a pretty lengthy discussion with the promoter over there at Riverside, and we just want people to know that obviously safety is a huge priority for High Limit. We've got the MedStar team with us at every race, and I know that you want to speak on that.
Yeah, I don't think we want to shy away from, you know, what happened and try to pretend like everything's, you know, kosher. I think that obviously the fence, you know, wasn't, you know, it's not very adequate, to be honest. You know, it's a catch fence for a reason. It's supposed to kind of keep the cars inside and the fans safe. And obviously we're really fortunate that when a car leaves the track that the fans are okay and the driver is okay. You know, so it's definitely something that we don't want to ignore just because everybody is okay. So, you know, we did have a conversation with Clayton. He owns the racetrack there. You know, obviously he needs to make some improvements with some cables and, you know, some things that need to hold the fence in place. You know, and I'm sure he has a big race at the end of the year, and I'm sure the World of Outlaws are going to be looking at that as well. So I brought that to his attention that, you know, when you're on a big stage and a car goes through the fence, there's going to be a lot of people with a lot of different opinions. And, you know, from a High Limit standpoint, we certainly, you know, want to make sure that they make those improvements before we go back and race there. You know, and that's something in this first year that we really want to look at these racetracks. And we want to work with the tracks, because obviously we own a track out in Chico, and I know how hard it is to make the improvements, you know, especially in a short amount of time, and how much money it takes to, you know, you're not talking about a, you know, couple feet of fencing. You're talking about hundreds and hundreds of feet of fencing, and you're talking about hundreds and, you know, a couple $100,000 to probably update it to what it needs to be. So, you know, certainly a lot of improvements need to be made to the fence at Riverside. And I'm hoping that Clayton, you know, with having these big events, will do well enough that they can, he can reinvest some of that money and make those improvements. So we don't have those issues, and so that we can keep going back to Riverside, because obviously the crowd was great. The fans, you know, loved the racing, and it's a sprint car hub, you could tell. And honestly, as the drivers, I know we had some issues through the night with some water coming up to the track, but the A main was awesome. It was a lot of fun to race on a bull ring like that and in front of a crowd like that. So just need to get the fencing better. And honestly, we're making notes at, you know, every track we go to. You know, if we see things, you know, we want to keep making improvements. in our first year, so that, you know, 5 and 10 years down the road, that we can look back and say that we had a good impression or you know, did a good job in helping these facilities improve over time, because it's not going to happen overnight, and everybody has to kind of acknowledge that.
Absolutely. Kyle, you had a little bit of a back and forth, some discourse with Danny Dietrich on Twitter under this, you know, under this topic here. It was a wacky night. I mean, you guys had to go out there. The first two heat races had to re-hot lap because there was, as Brad mentioned, literally water coming up from underneath the surface from the river down the road. So can you give us a little insight on what you guys were having to deal with there?
Yeah, it was like you said, it was odd. I've never seen something like that. You know, I've grown up in California, raced at Petaluma, Watsonville. You always hear about the tide and, you know, moisture coming back up throughout the night. But I've never seen it like literally puddle, during the night. You know, we pushed off for engine heat, and I was wrong. I was like, God, how did they miss it this bad? Like, how did they forget to put water on it? And then, you know, we started hot laps. I'm like, man, this thing's never going to blow off. Then I'm like, man, I got to start on the bottom of this heat race. And then I'm watching like the first heat out there rolling around. I'm like, it's wet. Like, there's water. It's like, where did it come from? So yeah, the first heat hot laps, I don't know, 20-ish laps. We probably hot lap close to that as well. And just was what it was. I mean, at that point, you kind of had to go racing. It wasn't getting any better. It was honestly getting worse, you know, the harder we were trying to get it better. And then, yeah, I mean, there's people on social media that aren't there that probably just clicked, you know, play knowing it's about heat race time and see that the bottom of the track's wet and don't really know the backstory of what's going on. And Danny's a very outspoken guy, always has an opinion. But I think when you don't really know the facts, which we've all gotten ourselves caught up in that, you know, in the past. But so I was just trying to like, hey, man, like, what could we have done differently? Because I feel like, you know, we did more than what, you know, most series probably would know what to do. You know, we tried some speedy dry out on the track. We tried hot lap and we tried, you know, pushing cars from the infield. Like, everything we did, nothing was making much of a difference until we got finally to the main event. And even then, you know, we still had some wet spots, but it was just odd. It was, I have never seen a track do that, but it honestly kind of made it fun too, because you didn't really know what to expect. You didn't know when the track was finally going to, you know, even out. But yeah, it was crazy. It was a crazy night for sure.
And then the main event, though, like, when the water kind of did finally, whatever, the river tide went down or whatever happened, then all of a sudden it was getting slick in a hurry. So like, it was a fine line, I feel like, of like, the track was hard. If it didn't have the water kind of coming up, like, I do feel like it would have went, to Kyle's point, like, really slick really quick, and could have went the other way. But it's just, I'd just say it's very unique, you know, and that's part of the process of learning, you know, is we've never been there before. We've never experienced that. So I think we did our best, and I think we got through the night. I think the fans really enjoyed the show, and honestly, the A main was great. You know, so other than the cars, you know, and the fencing, I think the overall race, the racing that Riverside puts on is amazing.
I'm still convinced the entire state of Arkansas was there that night. There was so many people, even at like 4 o'clock, there was a million people in the pit area walking around. So that was cool to see. So shifting gears, I feel like this was really the first test for High Limit. You know, we went, what was it? It was supposed to be 7 races. Unfortunately, we lost Texarkana, but, you know, 6 races over a course of 2 weeks. And it was really the first test, I would say, for High Limit, you know, to see if we can get into a rhythm and things like that with the full, you know, officials and the whole team and everything. Brad, how would you, you know, recap this April swing? You know, we went to Texas, RPM, Red Dirt, Southern Oklahoma, Salina, and then finished it off at Riverside. I felt like, you know, from the racing side of things, every race, there was a good race for the lead. But how would you do it? How would you look at it from besides the racing point with all of High Limit, the big picture, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, I think you got to let the fans speak a little, but I mean, from my perspective, you guys are doing a great job as a new group that's, you know, kind of all came together. I love what you and Tony Laporta are doing. I think you guys are, you know, doing a great job, bring a lot of energy and excitement and fun and newness to the show. And really enjoying that. Obviously, when Dylan comes in, it's really cool. I think it just adds another element, and you guys do a good job with that. I think Mike Hess is doing a great job. I think you know, his whole staff, that you know, they're fine tuning, you know, how they run their show and you know how they set up, you know, their signage, you know, and what their processes look like. And you know, we're a startup. We're new. We're 10 races in, and I think that you know we're competing night in and night out with some of the best racing and best shows, you know, in dirt track racing already. So I think there's a lot of room for improvement? Yes. Do I think that, you know, we're going to make some mistakes still and have to learn from them? Yes. Do I think that, you know, there's been some mistakes made in these first shows? Absolutely. We'll acknowledge them. But I think for the most part, we've done a great job. And we all knew this wasn't going to be easy. But at the end of the day, the racing has been good. The fans have enjoyed the shows. And yeah, people have been tuning in and seeing a lot of positivity. There's always the haters out there, but we don't pay attention to them. We just focus in on what we're trying to accomplish as a group. And I think for the most part, they're doing a great job.
Kyle, I think you've been able to be at three of those races, Texas and then Red Dirt, obviously, and Riverside. Texas, there was a million people there as well. It was cool to be able to have the NASCAR crowd come over and see a sprint car race for the first time. And you could, like, I could tell that there were NASCAR fans there. Like, they were standing up in the middle of the race at lap 12. There's nothing going on. They're just standing up because they're just excited, right? How would you characterize, obviously, you weren't in every race, but I'm sure you watched all of them. How would you characterize the start to this little swing for High Limit?
Yeah, no, I think for me, the product on track has been amazing. Every single race, in my opinion, has been super exciting. So that's good. And I think that's something that, you know, our drivers and tracks that we've selected have produced, you know, good racing. The races that I've been at, as you mentioned, you know, Texas, Red Dirt, and then Riverside, the crowds, the atmosphere was all really good. You know, Texas was fun, you know, like, cause as you mentioned, you know, it was a different, you know, set of fans there, like, and having the pre-race, you know, show with Kenny Wallace, was a lot of fun. Cause you got to kind of look out in the crowd, and I would say it was 50-50 split on, you know, NASCAR fans and sprint car fans. And, as you said too, you can definitely tell the NASCAR fan apart from a dirt fan. So, I enjoyed seeing that there, though. I hope they enjoyed the show. You know, the track was wet, so there wasn't, you know, any dust. And yeah, I think the race was really exciting, too, all of that. So, and then, yeah, Red Dirt, you know, getting the midweek stuff going there was fun. Crowd, I thought, was really good. The racing was exciting. You know, all throughout the field was intense. And then, yeah, Riverside. Like when I pulled into the parking lot, like I had to park deep in the lot, and I could just tell the atmosphere was really, really good. So I hope all the fans have enjoyed it. I know I've enjoyed it when I've been there. I've enjoyed watching at home, all of that. So and two, I think the competitors have all had a good time as well with it. So yeah, it's doesn't come without challenges though. You know, I think. You know, it's tough. It's really, really tough, I think, on everybody, you know, trying to run and operate a series and keeping it moving down the road. So everybody's been working really hard and doing a great job. As Brad mentioned, you know, you, Chase, and Tony in the booth have been awesome. Like, it's been really cool to see the fun that you guys have and all that. I think the fans enjoy it at home as well as the track. So all that's been really cool.
What were you and Rico fighting about at Red Dirt? You guys running into each other, I saw.
Space. I think we were just fighting for space. No, the camera got me, you know, getting him, which I got him a lot worse than he got me. But he did get me a little bit in the beginning, and I had one shot to kind of show some displeasure during the race, and definitely ran him out of room. But you'll have that. I was running like shit, been running like shit. So been frustrated and was going backwards regardless. And then just started driving like an absolute idiot trying to get back to the front. So Felt like I was in a midget race for sure. Felt like red dirt was.
It reminded me of Chili Bowl, honestly. Like the sliders were like, basically like, I felt like it was like, if your right rear could just get to the Nerf bar, it was like clear and you just run right into the wall or the, it was definitely, you had to kind of be a little more aggressive than you really wanted to be. But
it was,
hard
to get away. Like it was really hard to just get going.
It's a really round track, so you really open your, like, if you don't have momentum, you're really vulnerable for a slide job. So
like I watched the highlights and like they were really exciting, but it didn't even show like how intense it was, because I was back to like, I don't know, 13th or something at one point, and it was from, which I'm sure it was going crazy behind me, like Tanner was flipping Brent Marks off under yellow. Like it was intense the whole way, so it was frustrating but fun.
Yeah, well, don't feel too bad. I had my little incident with James, so I was glad that he was okay at Salina. That was pretty wild. Got in there and misjudged him, and man, when you're going that fast and you bang wheels like that, that was kind of scary. So glad that James was okay, and we kind of talked about it. But we've raced each other a lot, never really ran into each other. So, and we're pretty good friends. So I was kind of like, man, that was a bad one, especially racing for the lead. That was no good.
Yeah, like I was watching, I'm watching from my couch, so I didn't even really know what all happened, but then they showed one, I was like, man, I don't know, maybe he thought he like was going to hit the tractor tire, kind of like swerved away from it or what, but it was just, it was just kind of,
I actually
purpose, but
I actually believe I hit a little bit of grease, like they moved the tires in to try to get the bottom. And I think there was just a little bit of water that like someone had gone like below the berm and it just sprayed out a little. Cause I'd lose my front tires and just kind of like, I lose my front tires and I lift and I just totally just kind of along for the ride right in the side of him. But I don't like to make excuses either way, ran into him. So my fault, but yeah, that was scary, and then I saw the debate on, should Salina, needs a catch fencer, needs a wall. And I was kind of like, at first, like, yeah, I mean, totally agree and probably still maybe agree. But like I asked James, I'm like, man, do you think if he would have hit a wall, that would have been worse than just like kind of flipping off into the grass? And he kind of believes, like he said, it was really, for as bad a wreck as it was like really gentle on him. Like it didn't hit anything hard. So I mean, that's an interesting debate, because we kind of like Chico, we have no walls and people slide off the ends. And then you go to like Tulare that has walls and it's like, people hit the walls and it's like, and then they fly back into the track. And, so that's an interesting kind of debate or concept to think about. Do you want the car to hit something or hit the wall? Cause that's typically what hurts when you get in an accident is the
way he was flying too. Like, I mean, I'd have to watch it back, but like, I believe he would have hit like cage first.
I think he hit his tires, but I mean, either way, like just never stopping the energy.
If there was a wall there, he would have hit. Yeah, he would have hit hard. Cage first.
He would have hit hard. Like that's kind of the, like when you look at accidents, like man, what's better? Like letting the car just kind of go and not stopping energy, or so it's, yeah. There's always going to be. That's one of the hardest parts about safety. I think is there's a lot of opinions on what is safe and what is not safe, and we definitely got to learn a lot still and try to make sure that we figure out what the safest ways are, make sure that we implement those things as we move forward as a series and as influencers in this world.
Obviously it was a big crash and a tough deal for McFadden as he was trying to get his first win of the year, but there is one good thing that came out of it. And it was probably, in my opinion, the tweet of the year so far, with Brad's face photoshopped onto some guy trying to punch a kangaroo. I thought that was the greatest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. That was awesome.
It was cool that he could come out and kind of, have a little fun with it instead of, everybody getting so serious. And then how about Jacob Allen? James was fun. And then you got to love Jake Allen's personality because, it's this big announcement. I'm, he's so serious. And then, he's really playing his little deal up with Gio Selzy and the
I love he's going to play pickup basketball at the YMCA.
and Baps on Sunday because we like to race on Sunday. So Jake's a great guy, great personality, and you can just see how much more fun he's having this year with High Limit. Just having that freedom and the difference, it's a little bit of how I've been. I've been just, you know, really excited to be at the track. But yeah, I love Jake, love his personality, and honestly love all the guys that we got. We got a lot of great personalities. It's been fun.
Definitely has, yeah. The whole Fruit Loops thing, I bet you their sales have spiked here over the last couple of weeks. Toucan Sam is making a comeback. But we got some great races coming up here over the next week. Obviously, we have this weekend off. But the next race is Midweek Money Series 81 Speedway. And, you know, Corey, we're looking for his third Midweek Money Series win in a row if he can pull it off. He's never been there before. But, you know, Rico, he's won, I think, two Outlaw races there now. He's been pretty solid. But that's the next midweek show. And then obviously we go to Lakeside for two nights. And the first $50,000 to win race on Saturday over there in conjunction with the NASCAR stuff that's going on over there as well. But let's start at 81. Kyle, have you been to that track before? Have you raced 81 yet?
I won an all-star race there in 2020. That's the only time I've been there. I wasn't very good at all, but it thankfully took rubber around the bottom, and Zeb almost beat me. He was racing, I think, the McGee car back then. He was much better than I was. But, no, it was good. The crowd, I remember being really big, which it was everywhere in 2020, but the crowd was huge. It was super slick and all night, and then ended up taking rubber. But the Outlaw races that I've seen there, the track's been really, really good. So I'm excited to get there. I remember it being like long straightaways, kind of turn one sketchy, like tight, getting in narrow kind of. So yeah, I'm excited to get there. I do think this will be like the beginning of Rico kind of turning his season around. I think, you know, with his success he's had there, he's probably going to be really confident. Go to Lakeside, you know, half mile, I believe it's a half mile, where, you know, Ricky Warner is going to have that thing super fast. He was really, really fast there in the high limit race we had there last year. And then I think he broke or something, had a flat maybe. So I think Rico's going to have a good little stretch of races here coming up. So I know I'm excited about that. I know the fans will be excited to see Rico, you know, running up front again and challenging for wins more consistently. But yeah, it's gonna be fun. I'm really looking forward to this upcoming week.
Brad, it's gonna be kind of a little reunion, right? I think Lakeside, is that the first track that we're going back to for the second time? Or we went to Lincoln Park last year twice, right? But this is the first. How do you want to put it?
Year. I don't know. Yeah,
Lakeside. So it's gonna be a big deal. $50,000 to win. Last year, I don't think you ran it, right? You were in the infield doing some track work. Is that right?
I was doing track work, but I ran it. So
Okay.
But that's about how good I ran. So no, I'm excited. Obviously, now that we have a staff, I'm so much more relaxed at the racetrack. I get to focus on driving. And honestly, I mean, it's just crazy to me as a sprint car driver. Like, I'm home this weekend, but next week I'm going for, you know, $80,000, you know, in a week, 1 week span. I mean, as you know, it's really cool to me that we've started this series and been able to, like, you know, already accomplish that 20,000 to 81 on a midweek race with Kyle there. And then you go over to Lakeside and 50,000 to win. So it'd be, you know, a big week for high limit. And obviously, you know, it's kind of the kickoff to, you know, some of the bigger money shows. I mean, we have Lakeside being 50,000 to win. And then, you know, later in the month, Port Royal 75,000. So, you know, we have a midweek money series at Kokomo for 20. We just have a lot of great things. You know, this is just like the start of it all. Like, April is kind of the kickoff, then May it really gets going, and then obviously June, July, August is huge for us. And just, I don't know, I'm just excited about everything. But my Napa car is pretty fast right now, so I really feel like we got a shot to win, you know, coming up in these next few weeks.
Yeah, a lot of races coming up here in the month of May. We already talked about, obviously, 81 at Lakeside, but you mentioned Kokomo, Tri-City, Illinois is coming up. And then we go on a pretty big New York swing, three races up there. The fans in New York are some of the best. I think they're underrated fans up there in New York. Utica, Rome, Fonda. I know I'm missing one in there, but
Outlaw.
Yeah, that's Outlaw. Right. Yeah, so
yeah.
I've never been it. What's that?
Yeah. Oh, I said, don't forget about Burlington either, because we go
Burlington.
I don't want to leave them out. We go Burlington, yeah, Granite City, Kokomo, and then Outlaw, and then Utica, Rome, and Fonda, and then into Port Royal.
Yeah, so a lot of good races coming up for sure with High Limit. And, you know, Kokomo is one that probably I'm looking forward to the most. I've never seen wing sprint cars there, but I think maybe one time with the Outlaws. So Kyle, which one of those ones are you looking forward to the most? Obviously, you're going to be at 81. You're going to be at Kokomo. Which other ones are you planning on going to be in at there?
I don't know. I'd have to pull my schedule up. I will not be at New York or Pennsylvania. But yeah, I mean, 81, Lakeside, Kokomo are the ones I think that I get to run here coming up. Unfortunately, I won't be able to get to go to Grandview at the end of May now. I have a Goodyear tire test at Iowa for NASCAR, so got to miss that one, which kicks me out of the whole midweek money series, which is unfortunate. But you know, NASCAR is definitely the priority over everything. But yeah, so I'm gonna miss that. You know, Grandview is a great track for me, and really love running there. But yeah, Kokomo is an awesome track, so you're gonna have a lot of fun there. It's the day before I, you know, get an IndyCar for the actual, you know, month of May too. So I'm excited about that. I hope a lot of IndyCar fans and Indiana, you know, just race fans show up to see me get to run, you know, my one dirt race throughout those 2 weeks. So yeah, that kicks off, you know, probably the most memorable, you know, couple weeks of my life, hopefully. So yeah, hopefully it goes good. I feel like our car was better the other night, so we can tune it up before we get to Kokomo. We can have a good shot to be one spot better than we were last year.
So you guys haven't been able to talk.
Just admit that you're missing out on the midweek money series because you didn't want to have to, you know, lose to myself.
Yeah, that's what the rumors will be for sure. I'm sure Chase Robin will be, you know, out there on his YouTube page. You know, Kyle Larson's washed up and scared, and but no, honestly, I love obviously racing as much as I can. But you know, when your crew chief tells you, hey, I signed us up for a tire test at a track we've never been to before in the Cup Series, I need to be there.
That does make sense. And, you know, we haven't had a show, like I mentioned at the top, since March 15th. And since then, Kyle, you have gone to Indy. You've ran some laps in the IndyCar, went second quick in that practice, which, I mean, I guess is shocking, but also it's not, I feel like, at the same time. But, you know, the month of May is about 4 or 5 days away. Are you getting pretty excited? I mean, you've already shown speed, and the Indy 500 is just right around the corner.
Yeah, no, that was cool to go there and you know, feel comfortable anyways in a tow. So I wasn't really that impressed because I was drafting and probably half the guys weren't drafting. So it really wasn't a big deal, but fans and media thought it was really cool. So whatever, but no, I'm excited. Yeah, it's finally coming to reality that it's, you know, here. We race, you know, NASCAR at Dover this weekend, then Kansas next week, and then we're actually going to do a quick trip to Paris for my daughter's birthday. So that'll be a kind of a good little final relaxation before it gets super hectic. So yeah, then I run Darlington and race Darlington Sunday, go straight to Indiana that night. Got some meetings, I think, Monday morning, then Kokomo, and then yeah, on track the next day. So yeah, that first week is hitting track time every day. Tuesday through, you know, qualifying ends on Sunday, and got the all-star race Sunday night, back to Indy for Monday practice, and then have, I think, a lot of media stuff to do throughout the midweek portion of that second week. Carb day Friday, and then get to go do, you know, to Charlotte for the NASCAR stuff, then come back for, yeah, Indy and the 500, and then hopefully that goes well and we can get to the Coke 600 and try and have a good day there too. So yeah, just fortunate to be one of a handful of guys that have gotten to do the double. So I just hope it goes good.
You can obviously buy your tickets to all the upcoming High Limit races on highlimitracing.com. This is going to be probably the first Indy 500 that I've actually watched like through the entirety. Brad, I know we're racing that night. I'm just hoping that Mike Hess or whoever, you know, can get us either done in time. I don't know when the timing of the Indy 500 is, but hopefully we are going to be able to sit in a bar.
It'll be done. Remember, before you guys have driver's meeting.
Remember, Kyle's racing two whole races that day. Remember that?
Oh, that's so right. Yeah.
So Indy 500 tradition, man. Chase, come on. You got to know this better. But yeah, Indy 500 is during the day. The Coke 600 will be at night. But I'm sure the whole sprint car world, you know, the whole racing world will be watching and cheering on Kyle, and definitely all the dirt fans will be, you know, hoping that you can bring one home for us, or at least have a good showing. And we're excited to see you, man. It's pretty cool that you're going to be doing living a lot of our childhood dreams. We'll have to live it through you and cheer you on, and it'll be an exciting day for sure.
Yeah, no, living vicariously through Kyle.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
No, it'll be cool. It'll be cool. I've already felt the support, so I'm ready for it.
Well, I think that wraps things up here on the High Limit Room, guys. Thanks for coming on the show, and we'll see you at 81 Speedway next week, right?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yeah, we'll be there. Thanks. Thanks for filling in, Chase.
No problem. We'll see you guys next week. Thank you so much for watching the High Limit Room. See you guys.